want to greet each one in Jesus' name and welcome all to this part of the service. Want to give a special welcome to Jeff Beiler and his family. Glad to have you here with us today. I'd love to see you standing up here. Say that too. But anyhow, thank you for being here, gracing us with your presence there. I want to say state my appreciation too for the teachers and the work that you're doing. It's a great work. Someone has said that you can, see if I can quote this right, anybody can count the seeds in an apple. Anybody can count the seeds in an apple, or most people can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. And that's what your work is, excuse me. That's what your work is, to plant those seeds, and wow, what kind of harvest is that going to be? All right, I'd like to invite your attention to Luke chapter 10. Maybe we'll do things a little bit backwards today, backwards from normal. Usually we read the scripture first, but this time we won't. Luke chapter 10, it's a story that we're familiar with. In fact, three stories. In the first one, we have Jesus sending out 70. And he's sending them out two by two. All right, those of you that are going to school, if you're taking two people and you have 70 people, how many groups are you going to have? Come on. How many groups are you going to have if you have two in each group? 35. Now, so 35 villages. The assignment was to go to the villages that he was going to go to and prepare the way. So, if you have 35 groups, and everyone goes to two villages, how many villages can you cover? Anybody? Calculators have been a downfall. You need to do this in your head. 35 times 2 is 70, thank you. If they go to three villages, how many is it going to be?
One oh five,
yes. You know, and 4 is 140. You know, they could cover a lot of villages just with that number of people. I don't know how many they had. But what kind of tools did they have to spread this word? Besides their own 2 feet. What did Jesus give them to use? He gave them a message. What else did he give them? He gave them power. Power for what? Power to heal. Now, that would be pretty convincing, wouldn't it? He told them to go and heal, and he also gave them some instructions of what they were to do. They were to go to a house. It would be interesting, according to tradition, Eastern hospitality was that if somebody came to your house, you were to take care of their needs. And it probably still is that way to a certain extent. But he says if they don't receive you, then you are to leave, and if the village doesn't receive you, you are to actually shake off the dust off their feet. This is what he told them to do, that realizing that, you know, they had the opportunity, it was so close, so many good things were right at their fingertips, and yet they said no, and so, wow, even the dust is going to be a testimony against them. And in our Anabaptist tradition, there is a place where those that were driven out of the city actually shook the dust off of their shoes. We have a picture of that. Well, that's what Jesus said. He said to go and to heal, to abide in the house that you're in, to eat the things that they offer you, and to spread his word of every city that he should come. And then we have the return. And we have the return, they're coming back with joy. And they're saying, wow, even the devils were subject to us through your name. And then Jesus' response is very significant. Verse 20, it says, notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, I think it's significant that here these people were experiencing this tremendous outpouring of God's power, being able to heal the sick, and just being able to proclaim that the kingdom of God is near or here. And there it was. They were able to do that. And Jesus said, you know, this is good, but there's something better, and that's your name is written in heaven. And then he goes and he tells his disciples that, you know, there's many people that were before you that wanted to see this day, and they haven't seen it. Many prophets, many people that were no doubt worthy were not able to do this, but you are able. And I have to think about that in today. You know, never has there been a time when so much is at our fingertips, so much knowledge, so much potential, so much even material goods that are easily accessible. Jesus said that to whom much is given, much will be required. And, you know, if we use our things for his glory, for his power, for his goodness, for his spreading his kingdom, it's a good thing. But if it's not, then think of that consequence there. But then he goes right into another story, another account, another happening there, starting at verse 25. And we have a lawyer standing up and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And there, I don't know if this was connected with what he was, did he hear Jesus telling something to the disciples? But here Jesus is telling the disciples, your names are written in heaven. That's the thing that you should rejoice about. And here we have a lawyer saying, what must I do? And in this next account, the story of the Good Samaritan, there are three questions. And the first one I already shared with you. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What was the next question that came in this story? Who is my neighbor? And what is the last question? Which was the neighbor? Yes. Okay. So Jesus asked the last one. The lawyer asked the first two. And the first question, what must I do? And then Jesus gives this story after he asked, who is my neighbor? And we know the story of the Good Samaritan. I don't think we need to read it at this point. But let's just review it a little bit. Who is my neighbor? That is what Jesus, that was the question. Maybe we'll read it here. Verse 29. Well, no, verse, we have to back up. Verse 20. He asked him what was in the law. And he gave him a very good answer. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, thou hast, verse 28, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. So, who is your neighbor? You know, Jesus said, he answered that pretty clearly, didn't he? Or the lawyer answered it. But what... And then Jesus told him, he said, he that showed mercy on him. So what did mercy look like to this man that was wounded? What did it look like in a physical sense? Looked like a donkey, didn't it? It looked like oil and wine. It looked like taking time out. It looked like the care of somebody else. It looked like a follow-up, a promise of more to come. You know, these were all physical things that was in the power of the man to give it, but he also could have refused all of them. It had a different look than maybe what it'll have today. I don't know how many donkeys we have in our congregation, but we all came to church in a donkey, probably, in the modern sense of the word. And, you know, the thing about Scripture, it's given for all time. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the interesting thing about Jesus and his dealing with people then and now is that he goes beyond what is looked at, what is the external, what we see on the surface. You know, maybe what he sees is something good on the surface, or maybe it's something bad on the surface. But he looks past that, and he sees what's on the heart, and he fixes whatever is wrong, whether it's inside or out. But he starts with the inside and works. And so, mercy to this man. You know, here is a man that was definitely needing help. And he needed help in a bad way. He was half dead. I don't know what he looked like, except he it wasn't good. So he had his immediate needs met with oil and wine. He had his transportation supplied with the person that was riding the donkey, now put this man on the donkey, and he rode. And he took him to an inn and took care of him and then paid for it and then promised to do more when he returned. Someone has put together a list of ways to show compassion. Ways to compassion. The way that we do it, there's a difference between compassion and empathy. I think we all understand that. But empathy is when we put ourselves into someone else's suffering, we feel with them, and it's a good thing to do. But compassion is that plus there is something that we do about that, something to do to alleviate their suffering or help them in whatever kind of way. But here's a short list. Ways to compassion. Put yourself in someone else's shoes. That's one way. That's an important thing. Move beyond self-referencing. That, you know, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about dying to self. And until that happens, that our self is always a reference point. It is. It's just what we do, you know. How does this relate to me? How can I help? This is the experience I've had. We always do that. It's not uncommon. It's not always wrong because that's where our experience stems from. But to be compassionate as Christ wants us to be, it needs to move beyond that part of it. Practice kindness without people pleasing. Relax your judgments. Listen generously. Heal your own trauma and practice presence. I think we can see that this was something that was evident in the life of the Good Samaritan. He did these. He was willing to go the next step and to follow through with the needs of this man. But then this story kind of ends there, but it goes straight on to another account that I want to go. Right from where Jesus said in verse 37, there's kind of a linking verse here. And he said, "He that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise." What do you think the word was for this? What do you think this man heard? Go look for wounded men on the road to Jericho? Is that what he heard? And help them? I don't know. I don't know what his mind was. But that's what Jesus said. He said, "Go and do thou likewise." And I don't think he meant just look for wounded men on the road to Jericho. I think he meant be available to help where you see need and follow through with that. So now we have the next story here, and this is one that's also interesting to me. He went to a place that he loved and that he was loved. And we have the story of two women and a brother. And these were very different individuals. And we had this in our Sunday school lesson too not long ago. But here we have Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Also, this one doesn't say much about Lazarus. Doesn't say anything about him. But we have one person that is now, this person is very anxious about serving. And isn't that what Jesus just said? Go do something. He told the lawyer, go and do likewise, like this Good Samaritan did. Now we have Martha that's here, and she is so anxious to be serving. And we have Mary that is just sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing him, taking in every word, just devotedly listening to him. And Jesus said, he gave commendation to Mary instead of to Martha. Why is that? He had just told the lawyer to go out there and do something. Now here Martha is busy doing something, and Jesus says Mary has chosen the good part. You know, I don't think it was an accident that these stories are right together in Scripture. Jesus is just simply telling us that what's important to him is that relationship and that bond, that connection. And then things are going to happen that are pleasing to him. He loved Martha. And I love that verse that Martha shared one time in our family devotions. She said, and Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Mary. And her sister and Lazarus, rather. Jesus loved Martha. She was doing a good thing. But it was a burden to her. How many times, you know, sometimes when it's time to go to church, I don't feel like going. But I do it because it's the right thing. It's the right thing to do, and so, yeah, I go. And sometimes it's a blessing, and sometimes I don't feel that it was. You know, God that sees my heart knows the motive for us doing what is right. He knows the motive. It's always right to do the right thing. It's always the right thing to do. But we need to adjust our motive to the right thing as well. I mean, we need to have the right motive. I'm not going to suggest that it's better if you don't feel like going just to stay home. But I would say get the other things in line because we're all human. We know what it feels like. But that's what Jesus was working at with Mary. Mary wanted to be where Jesus was. She wanted to be there, and that part was clear. And if that part is taken care of, and then the other things are going to follow. Mary wanted to be where Jesus was. And that was the important thing. And we need Marthas. We need those people that are willing to work and serve. But I think Martha learned her lesson there too. I think she loved Jesus and she also continued to serve. So I'm not downing Martha's in any kind of way. They're important people, and our church has got lots of them. people that serve, people that are willing to work. Jesus is simply saying that Mary is the important thing was that Mary wanted to be where Jesus was, have a relationship, and she showed it in very sacrificial ways. She showed that her love for the Lord, and so it's not enough just to go out and be busy for the Lord if we're doing it to put on a show. But if we're doing it for service for him, there is nothing too small that counts. I mean, that doesn't count. Everything counts with Christ if our service is one that is for his good and for his glory. I don't think it's an accident that these accounts were put in this order. I was just so blessed by reading this yesterday and just following through and the connections that we have from one account to the next is just significant. So first of all, again, we have the 70 going out, and then we have the good story of the Good Samaritan, and then the story of Mary and Martha, and we have Jesus telling us what to do in these cases. And it all comes down to the point where Jesus says, the motives are important. They're what count with God. And in Hebrews 10, verse 16, is a verse that I think is so significant in this. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And when our actions are coming from the inside out, like they were obviously in Mary's case, this is what he's looking for. He's not looking. That's what he wants, first of all. And so now I'd like to go back and read the chapter, Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of heaven is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned to him and said, unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring out oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that had mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. And it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know, I again say that I don't think that this was an accident, that it was put together, but our motives, if our motives are pure, want to follow the Lord where he is, be where he is, then our actions are going to follow that as well. Let's bow our heads for prayer.